I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Lore Watch, a roundtable freeform discussion about lore and the games of Blizzard Entertainment. But of course, right now, you know we're all crazy about Legion, so that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. I'm Anne Stickney, one of two lore-focused writers from Blizzard Watch, and I've got two wonderful co-hosts with me today. First up, he's a regular here, and that would be Matt Rossi. Hi, Rossi.
Hey, everybody.
And then secondly, Joe couldn't make it today, but we've brought in our usual substitute. So we've got Mitch with us. Say hi, Mitch.
Hi, Mitch. Wait. Okay. Hey, everybody.
Everybody does that every time. I've been known to do that too. I think it's getting, we need to come up with a new shtick for that kind of thing. Anyway.
Just from now on, whenever someone introduces you, fellow greetings, mortals.
Greetings.
Mortal fools.
It's like McCurley used to do the Akamagosh friends every time. But anyway, Legion. Legion's been out for a week now. Has it been a week? A couple weeks?
Week and a half.
Week and a half. Almost 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's been 13 days because it was August 30th.
Yeah.
So that's right.
11 plus 1 is 12, so 13.
Like I said, Tuesday. It'll be 2 weeks on Tuesday. But anyway, regardless, everybody's had plenty of time to play through at least, hopefully, the intro stuff and get to level 110. We're going to spoil a little bit of just the very, very beginning of 110 content here. So if you haven't reached max level yet, if you're still playing and leveling through the game, you might want to duck out and come back after you've hit max level and seen some stuff, because there's some things to see. That said, that's your spoiler warning. So, yeah, if you don't want to be spoiled, get out. We'll see you later.
Mortals.
Flee, mortals.
Sorry, I've been fighting a lot of demons.
It's all good. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get this started now that the spoiler warning has been given out. What I'd like to talk about today is Light's Heart. Specifically, not just Light's Heart. I also want to talk about the scenario that pops up, and it doesn't pop up at max level, it pops up before max level, but you're sent to the Exodar after obtaining Light's Heart to go show it to Velen, because obviously if anybody's going to know what this thing is, Velen will know.
If we're going to talk about that, there's a little significant piece of information that needs to be talked about before we talk
Well,
about
I was going to get to yeah. that. I was going to get to that. So before all of this starts, and okay, am I the only one that like squealed like... Okay, let me get into it here. you get a message from Khadgar and he says that this thing has hurtled from the heavens and hit Azeroth somewhere in the Broken Isles. And you have to go retrieve it. And you go get it and you bring it back to him. And there's a cinematic. And yeah, talk about the cinematic, Rossi.
You find a gigantic crystal doodad and you're like, what the heck is this thing? And you bring it to Khadgar. And Khegar does his magical, you know, woo-doo-doo-doo, squiggly fingers thing. And the thing goes whoosh. It really goes whoosh. And then there's like an Obi-Wan, you know, the bit where like Leia's like, you know, this is messages for General Kenobi. It's like that, except it's...
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Instead of it being Leia, it's Tyrallian. And Tyrallian is apparently on or near Argus, as far as I can tell, from the message he gives with the Army of the Light. And that's where he's been this whole time. And if he's alone, I don't know. He might have Illyria with him. Couldn't tell you, but he did.
When Khadgar said his name, I squealed like a little girl.
So, yes, we finally, this is the first time Tyrallian has even popped up in a visual representation. It's not actually the guy standing in front of you, but this is the first time we've even had this much of him since World of Warcraft started. This is his debut.
Yeah, ever. This is his debut, and when Khadgar said his name, I completely freaked out. I seriously did.
Unless you count the wanted poster in that canceled 18-year-old game.
Well, yeah, but that's pre-World of Warcraft. So,
yeah,
you know, we're talking about World of Warcraft itself. Yeah. He's been referenced before. His name has been said. There was a statue to him at the Gates of Stormwind. But other than that, yeah, that's like the only record we have other than his kid who's still wandering around. And I think he's in the Paladin class hall now. He should be. He better be. Erathor?
I didn't see him. I didn't see him when I leveled my paladin, but I haven't got my paladin to max level yet.
Okay. Well, maybe he pops up later. I feel like he should be there. I feel like he should. It has to be the paladin because he's wearing paladin gear. Anyway, regardless. Okay. So, Tyrallian, Army of the Light. Obviously, Vela knows about all of this. So, you're told to take Light's Heart to the Exodar to have it checked out. And when you get to the Exodar, stuff is going down.
Everything's great.
You want to talk about that, Rossi?
Sure. When you get to the Exodar, first off, I've actually did I did a scenario first on a Draenei warrior.
I did it on a Draenei shaman. Yeah. And oh.
And it is terrifying when you get there and there's demons everywhere. It's not just a few demons. This is like Mitch trying to tell you about Shadow Priest's levels of demons. There's just demons everywhere.
That's not inaccurate. Funny story, I was kind of rushing through stuff on the beta just like right before release to see, you know, what the questing flow would be like and if I should skip anything or whatnot. I got this quest kind of just going through it quickly, and I got there and I was like, wait, is this like a doomsday vision or is this actually happening? Like, that's how
it is actually happening.
Yeah. And yeah. So you get into the Exodar.
Is overrun. Yeah,
you get into the Exodar and Velen is like, look, I'd love to help you with your sparkly thing, but there's a lot of demons here and I'm kind of busy manifesting this giant dome. I gotta say this, something Alex loves to complain about is that the super powerful NPCs don't come help you while you're doing stuff.
He's kind of busy.
Yeah, this is the first time that I'll give them why Velen doesn't come out to help you, because he's literally creating a dome holding off like hundreds of demons. There's like demons constantly running at this thing, getting blown up. More demons come in.
Yeah, it's like a hall of light sized bug zapper.
Yeah,
basically. So they like run towards it and they're just like evaporated.
it's like
they turn into little piles of ash. It's actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
So Velen basically tells his second in command, a Draenei paladin named Divinus, to back you up, and you head out to basically kick demon butt because, you know, you have to save people. If you explore the whole Exodar, there's like mini bosses and stuff in there.
I didn't realize this when I went through, and I'm like kicking myself.
There's a mini quest too, like a quest.
There's
where
a quest where you go
hold
help
off waves.
Yeah, you go help Nabundu, and then there's also a rare that spawns in there apparently. And I missed both of these things because I was busy kicking a lot of demon butt. And once I closed the gates and things, I'm like, okay, all right, are we safe now? Cool. And I didn't really do much exploration outside of that. I wish I had. My second time through, I'm definitely going to take my time and go find all of this stuff.
When Velen says, you know, okay, you've closed enough portals and I now just, you know, finish up getting people out. And I was like, no, man, I'm not stopping until every demon in this place is dead. So I wandered around killing demons. And after a while, I realized, oh, I can't close any more portals, so I can't cleanse the place. Okay, I guess. Oh,
sorry, Exodar.
Yeah. There's only so far you can go.
So I went and, you know, helped Nabundo. And it's actually funny to help Nabundo because he forms a party with you. It's you, Nabundo, and three other guys. I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
One of them is like Rock Fist, I don't know.
Yeah. They're all like,
I'm so mad that I didn't do this because my shaman would have been the character that would have done this absolutely had I known it was there.
Fister Rockfist. That is his name. And he is an enhancement shami with rocks for fists.
Yeah, it seriously is a messed up little group. And so after you get through that, by the way, it's a hard slog too. It was not easy. You get through all that. And so you go back to Velen and you're like, okay, I have killed a lot of demons. Can you like, please look at this thing I've got. And so he's like, all right, fine. I sense its power. Go ahead, break it out. He takes 5 seconds to look and he goes, we got to go now.
Oh, maybe this was more important.
He's like, we got to go now, right now. Pick it. I'm picking it up. We're going right now. And Velen books. Like, he runs.
Yeah.
This 20,000-year-old Draenei dude literally hoofs it out of there.
The grandma in High Mountain, he is the antithesis of her.
He takes off.
He picks up his skirts and he runs. And he's carrying this giant crystal thing on his shoulder like an enormous...
Like it's nothing.
It is awesome.
So you're hauling butt. He's explaining to you, this is the sentience core of the Prime Naru, Zira. And you're like, what? It's the what? And he's like, yes, we have to get to a Naru of Zira's line. Is the only thing that can unlock this.
There's only one of those Naru left.
Yeah, and it happens to be at the heart of this place.
Oros.
Yeah, Oros, so we're going to go. And so you start going. And of course, immediately the evil mastermind general, I can't remember his name, Rakish, which means butcher in Eridar. And he's been taunting you the whole time. He's one of those guys. And if you pay attention, it's Patrick Seitz is the voice actor.
So Garrosh.
It's a very Garrosh-y voice performance he does here. It's Garrosh with a little bit more evil reverb. And so you basically get to a place where they've completely and they've tainted out a whole path to Oros. You can't walk on it. And Velen's response is, just stay near me. Don't get out of the bubble. And he books it down the stairs. And you're like, I wish I was mounted for this. And he's like, whoosh, blowing up everything. And you get there.
I got Ghost Wolf and I was barely able to keep up with him.
I think I was mounted first, so I got lucky. But yeah,
he hauls butt down that pathway. And you get down there. And I don't know how it is for other classes because I've only done it on warriors so far. But for warriors, your two main followers that you've got at that point in time show up to help.
Yeah, I didn't have any followers with me. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I can't remember her name. It escapes me. The tiny angry dwarf woman from...
Oh, yeah. So Melia, I think.
Milra?
Oh, I don't remember. But
Myra? No. Something like that. Anyway, she shows up and I love her. And she's like, what? You thought you were going to go do this stuff without me? I'm like, oh, I'm so happy you're here because this was painful without you.
So in my case, it was the two people from the Broken Shore. They show up and they're like, I don't know what's going on, but we'll hit things because we're Vrykul and that's what we do. So... You confront Rakish and there's actually a really sad moment where you feel like you've won. Like you show up, Velen's healed Oros. You're like, okay, it's done. You're done. We're taking you in. And he's like, oh, well, okay. But first, and he summons a giant evil robot and kills Oros with it.
Just one shot. And
that's
when it's that Oros reveal. It's that reveal of Zara where you realize why the Burning Legion are at the Exodar. This isn't just like a revenge tactic. Oh, hey, we're going to go wipe out the Draenei because we caught them. Finally. No, they want to get rid of Oros on purpose. That's why they're there. They want to get rid of Oros because Oros is the last living descendant of Zara's line. And they want to make sure that line is cut off. So, it's really sad because I was like, yay, we won. And it's no, we did not win. We did not win at all.
When that happened, I was like, wait, that's it? Like, she's just gone now?
Just poof. Bye-bye.
So I didn't stand a chance.
Still have to fight the guy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, luckily I have two people with me and Velen's healing. Velen's a clutch healer, by the way. The dude's really good.
He totally is. Yeah, I had no problems at all.
So you go in and you fight and you fight and you fight. And he starts saying things And as he does so, Velen kind of has a, oh my God, I've seen this before moment. And he starts yelling at you, no, hero, please don't kill him. And I'm like, Velen, he's at 2%.
He becomes attackable at that point.
Velen pretty much says, stop, don't kill him, don't kill him. And then as you're continuing to fight him, he says, I'm going to stop you myself. And he goes hostile, which is just crazy because we've just seen what Velen can do.
Yeah.
The prospect of fighting him, not something I'm happy about. If you ignore Velen and you just concentrate on Rikish, you can finish taking Rikish down relatively easily. And that's when everything is kind of revealed. So, Rossi, go ahead.
Spoiler alert again.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, what happens is, after you've killed the dude, in my case, I didn't even get a chance to attack Velen because he started saying this stuff when the dude was at 1%, and I just popped all my cooldowns because I'm like, no, I want you dead now. So he literally died while Velen was in the middle of his, I will stop you myself. And I'm like, Velen, I just killed him. And so Velen just walks over and cradles the dude's body in his arms. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And Velen starts going, you asked me if I did not foresee this moment, child. I did. But I buried that memory. And he starts going on about how when he had to leave his wife and children behind, and how Kil'jaeden had taken them from him to punish
that,
him.
That vision that he had was a vision that he had when he was holding his newborn son for the first time.
Yeah, and he had no idea why he'd seen it or what it was. He's like, well, why was I cradling some weird red-skinned, fell-pocked? What was that? I don't even know what that was.
That was his son.
Yeah, and he had no idea. So he'd repressed it until that moment on the Exodar when he realized, oh my God, that's what this is. That's who this is.
It's just like deja vu. You don't really remember it happening until it's already happening.
So, we kill Velen's son, who has been spending the past 20,000 years as Kil'jaeden's. Kil'jaeden's incredibly long-term delayed revenge plan. This is why Kil'jaeden is not somebody you want as an enemy.
I believe the quest said... I think that it was Khadgar that said something about that bastard waited 13,000 years to exact vengeance on Velen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like every time we've like seen that the Legion has been chasing the Draenei, everyone's like, oh, wow, Kil'jaeden's holding a grudge. We had no idea what Kil'jaeden holding a grudge looked like.
It was pretty terrible.
The genocide of the Draenei was nothing. That was just warm up. It's like, oh, my God, this guy's a bastard.
So he tells you to take Lightheart and go back to Khadgar, and you take it and you gotta go back to Khadgar. But I'm getting to that. Okay. So you take it and you get ready to go back to Khadgar, but you shouldn't go back to Khadgar immediately. You should wait because there's another portion of that scene that plays once the main guards arrive and they talk to Velen. And what is it he says?
Prepare the Exodar, we're going home, or something like that.
He basically, first thing he says is the Artificer alive? He says his name, but I can't remember the guy's
Rommel.
Name.
Rommel. No, not Rommel. Rommel's the Blood Elf.
Yeah. He basically says is the Grand Artificer alive? And the guard's like, yes, the Artificer lives. And he goes, good, tell him to begin repairs on the Exodar immediately. But I do feel like we need to mention one thing first. Before this all plays, Velen turns to you, and when he's sending you back to Khadgar, he says something really powerful and really heart-wrenching. He turns to him and goes, tell Khadgar, the light died today.
And, yeah.
So, Velen is possibly now a shadow priest. I'm not sure. he is certainly a angry priest.
Oh, yeah. Velen's always been this presence of eternal calm and peace, and he has this string, like he has a fuse, right? And that fuse stretches on for eternity, for thousands and thousands of years it stretches. And in that moment when he's holding Rakisha in his arms, that fuse finally caught up and it went off. Velen's mad. You don't want to see Velen when he's mad. The thing about people with long fuses is when that fuse finally goes off, it's probably going to be the scariest thing you've ever seen in your life. And we know what Velen is capable of when he's not angry. Like, we just saw some just jaw-dropping, you know, examples of Velen's power. He made like this light shield thing that was just disintegrating demons like they were nothing. You know, he ran you down that fell ramp. again, walking over fel-tainted ground and cleansing it like it was nothing. You had to run to keep up with him or be mounted, one or the other, because he was taken off so quick. That's Velen when he's not angry.
Yeah, the way he said we're going home wasn't like, oh yeah, we're going home. It was like, we're going home.
No, it was I'm going home and hell hath no fury like a Velen scorned, I guess. Yeah,
he is going to mess people up.
Hey, yeah. So you take Lightheart and you take it back to Khadgar, and you know, Khadgar is understandably, you know, sympathetic to Velen's plight, and he thinks that this, you know, it just further demonstrates exactly how I can't think of the right adjective for it.
Quite frankly, you use the word Machiavellian, but quite frankly, Machiavelli could take lessons from Kil'jaeden.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's almost Kil'jaedian.
They're so evil and so good at this whole mastermind manipulation, everything else that, I mean, if they can't get to you directly, they will get to you indirectly, and they will do it in as painful a way as they could possibly inflict. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if it takes thousands of years, because what's 1,000 years or so to the Burning Legion? It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. So this just kind of reinforces that whole point that we got even, you know, during the Broken Shore scenario, where you show up and every demon we have ever defeated over the history of World of Warcraft pops up and says hi, like nothing's happened.
Hey, we're back. Like,
and we fought those guys, they were hard, man. I remember that first Kil'jaeden raid. I remember that first raid on
Brutalist shows up, and Brutalist is a nightmare.
Yeah, Brutalist was insane. The one that's over by in Hellfire Peninsula.
Magtheridon.
Yeah, Magtheridon. The first time we did Magtheridon with all the cubes and the clicking and everything, man, that was a tough fight. That was
It's not even that, though. What's really messed up is Tychondrius is there.
Yeah.
Oh, Tychondrius is the dude Illidan killed.
He's been gone since, you know, like, before World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3. He died in Warcraft 3. And, you know, all of these people are showing up. Varimothras is there.
Oh, yeah. Like, all at once.
They're all there. They're all there like we've done nothing. And essentially, we have. We've done nothing. We defeated them once. That's okay. They'll come back again. They'll keep coming back again. You know, there was somebody who was talking about how it felt like the demonic invasions were kind of pointless because it was like the same, you know, they were like, it loses impact because it's the same generals fighting over and over. It's like, well, it's the same people.
That's
and
the
it's like,
point, though.
No, that's the point of the invasion. We can keep killing them and they will keep coming back. We're fighting a war of attrition and we're on the losing side because when we're dead, we're dead.
Yeah.
That's it. Game over.
That's why we have to close the portal.
Right.
Because without the portal, they can't keep doing this. With the portal open, they can just keep coming through it. Like, boom,
well,
we're back.
This is kind of tangentially related, but wasn't this the first time in game that the fate of the Titans was acknowledged?
Yes.
Yep. Actually, that comes up later.
It comes up later.
Okay.
We should probably actually talk about that.
We're going to move forward a little bit because Light's Heart turns out to be a lot more important than you'd initially thought. So when you quest through Val'Shirah, the artifact that you're looking for, the Pillars of Creation thing that you're looking for the Tears of Ilun. And
Tears indeed.
Val'Shirah is probably one of the more heartbreaking zones to level through. Just because when you get to the end, you witness the death of an aspect. And Ysera bites it. And you get another cutscene. And in this cutscene, that cutscene was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. In that cutscene, Ysera's spirit is basically like lifted to Ilun, and you find the tears afterwards. They're left behind. And you take those and you drop them off because that's what you're supposed to do with these Pillars of Creation. The method in which you obtained these particular items, not really the preferred method of getting a Pillar of Creation. You'd rather just, you know, go pick it up, loot it off the ground or whatever, you know?
What does it take to make Ilun cry?
Apparently,
now we know.
Ysera's death. So when you hit level 110, and I believe this is level 110 quest.
Yeah, it props up.
It pops up after you ding. Khadgar sends you a message. Well, he doesn't send you a message. He shows up. He's like a head in a bubble.
I'm trying something new.
Trying something new. I've decided instead of sending the big purple guy to annoy you, I'm just going to show up as a talking head and follow you around until you acknowledge me. So yeah, you go back and he says that he's found a key to unlock Light's heart, which is really interesting because as we were told by Velen, Oros was like our last hope to do that. But apparently there's something else going on here. And I guess Khadgar was going through some kind of ancient cosmology text or something like that. And he came across a passage that said that the Prime Naru was created by a loon during the Great Ordering of Light and Shadow.
I want to know where he found that book.
Where was that book?
That book in Karazhan this whole
time? That book? Was it
was probably just, no, it was probably buried under Apexis crystals.
Now, do you think it was in Karazhan? I'm
guessing that's where it would be.
Because I know we mentioned
Karazhan, you know, where else would it have been? I mean, I don't know, like, as he points out, it's not often a planet tells me to look in my own library.
Well, and the thing is like, you know, it's like I said the last time we were talking about this, when you initially go to Karazhan with Khadgar, and that Echo of Medivh says something about the circle and how he's seen the circle and the circle is nearing completion or something like that. And he's foreseen all of this. So to me, it makes sense that he would have that book. Maybe that book has something to do with this circle that he's foreseen or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff about cycles in this expansion. Like, every now and again, you'll see a reference to a circle or a cycle. And they all appear to be talking about different things, but I feel like they're all related somehow. And this is all, like, predestined. So, yeah, basically what Khadgar says is, hey, I figured out how to activate Light's heart. I saw this thing that said that, you know, maybe Ilune created these guys during the Great Ordering of Light and Shadow. So I want you to take those tears that you've gotten and just go give Light's heart a boop with those things. Just like just touch them together. Let's just see what happens. I mean, it can't be horrific at all, can it?
I feel like Khadgar
always has the great ideas.
Khadgar keeps coming up with these plans and they all involve, well, let's see what happens. I want, like, when he first calls you to come to Dalaran to move the place, he's like, I have a plan, a horribly dangerous plan, but a plan.
I love Khadgar.
But yeah, he's like, try and use these things on Light's heart. I don't know how you're going to use it. Maybe like touch them together or something. I don't sprinkle them like seasoning salt. I don't know. Well, just go try it out. See what happens.
You do use it. Basically, I don't know about for other people, but for my character, I stood over it holding the thing above it and I just kind of waited. It was are you feeling woken up yet, big crystal thing?
I don't know what's supposed to happen here, but okay. Well, it turns out what happens is yet another cinematic where all of a sudden you're transported. Your spirit is just sort of floating somewhere in the eternal cosmos.
Like the twisting nether almost.
Yeah, you're just kind of like floating out there. And Zara is there talking to you.
She has a calming voice.
She has a very calming voice. Anyway, Rossi, talk about what she told you.
Well, first thing she does is reassure you you're not crazy. Which is nice.
Which is probably good, because, you know.
You're not insane, mortal.
Khadgar's thing didn't kill you. This is actually happening. Don't worry.
Yeah. So, yeah, she basically tells you, you know, yes, I am the consciousness of Zara. I reside in, you know, the Twisting Nether because, well, you know, stuff happened. And during the Great Order, I was the first Naru created during the Great Ordering of the Cosmos. And she basically tells you, oh, by the way, Titans, dead. Since they died, you know, there's been no one to oppose the Legion as it burned its way through the cosmos. So at every world they went to, there were survivors. And those survivors have banded together into this army of light and have attacked Argus. And now their campaign on Argus reaches its conclusion. And the way she said that, it feels like she's not saying with a victory march. You know, it definitely doesn't feel like she's saying, "Yoo-hoo, we're about to win." It definitely is much more in lines of, "Yeah, we're pretty much on fire." So it's kind
of not like on fire in that good, oh, we can use our ultimate ability kind of way. On fire in that hole, we're dying.
Yeah,
literally, we are burning. If you guys could try and find, there's a prophesied champion, and we're pretty sure
she says. Okay, she says directly, she says, I seek the child of light and shadow, the boy destined to end the age of demons. And when she said that, when she initially said that, I was like, oh my God, Anduin.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, Illidan Stormrage. And I'm like, Wait, what?
Record yeah, scratch? That.
Illidan wasn't prepared, really. What? You think I'm a boy?
And I probably should have known about this because I did read, I mean, in the Illidan novel, he talks to a Naru, and I'm presuming that the Naru that he was talking to was Zera, quite possibly the one who gave him the holiest of holy boops.
It makes sense.
Okay. So yeah, she's looking for Illidan. Unfortunately, we kind of killed that guy. And then after he was dead, Maia put him in prison. And then from the prison, Gul'dan came and took him along with Cordana. And who knows where the heck the guy's at right now? Because we don't.
Yeah. So that guy you need, we don't have him.
But it's not quite done, though. They're not done when they have that little moment. Because she then sends you to Val'Shorah. Which, yeah. It turns out, Val'Shorah isn't just the place where Malfurion learned how to be a druid. It's where they're from.
Well, first off, though, before you do that, she sends you back to Khadgar, and you tell Khadgar, well, so the thing talked to me. Also, the Titans are dead. Also, yeah. There's an army fighting in the cosmos, probably Argus or somewhere, and they're losing. Yeah, oh, and we need Illidan. Can you make that happen?
Khadgar's line, our gods were dead before we were even born. Like, damn, things just got real.
Well, and Khadgar's sitting here going, wait a minute, hold up, back it up a little bit here.
Slow down, man.
The Titans are dead, the Army of Light is dying, and we need Illidan, but Illidan is gone. This just got so many million times more hopeless than it has ever been. Because, I mean, the whole find the Pillars of Creation thing was, at least there was a moment of hope there where it was like, okay, if we get these things and we close this portal, then we'll be okay for now. But for now, you're not really supposed to think about that much. But now he's hearing that there's an Army of Light. Yes, we kind of knew about its existence. Velen had foreseen the Army of Light and all of that. We didn't know Tyrallian was there, but we do now. And they're losing. We didn't know they were losing. We assumed that this was going to be this big last hurrah. Yeah, we're going to go be victorious. No, they're dying out. And the one person that we need, that this Prime Naru says, hey, we need to go get, is somebody that we killed, imprisoned, and has been stolen away and is in Gul'dan's hands now. So we could close that portal, but as long as they've got Illidan, game over. It's just game over.
He's the one, the prophesized one. Can't really avoid prophecies, and we don't have him right now.
Did anyone else think Anduin when that line was first said? Because that was where my mind first leapt to.
I can't remember who exactly I thought they were talking about. I did not think Illidan.
I thought Illidan.
See, and I thought
Illidan just because he's on the box.
And I'd forgotten about, the whole, like I said, in the Illidan novel, it's very specific. He's touched by the Naru, all of that. Okay, all right, I get it. But when they first said it, I was thinking back to Velen Prophet's Lesson, where he sees the Army of Light and he sees Anduin as like one of the leaders. And then, of course, the comic that came out, where it shows a much older Anduin, or we presume that that's a much older Anduin. Maybe that was Tyrallian? I don't know.
Oh, no, he did have the same letter.
He had the same letter and everything else. So I'm assuming that was Anduin. But it seemed like he was the head of this particular branch of the army or whatever. So I immediately went to Anduin. Like, that was my immediate thought was, oh my gosh, Anduin. And then she says Illidan, and I wasn't disappointed. I was more like, him? Egg? Yeah. What?
I think that's actually kind of what they're going for, because it's like all this time, Illidan has always felt like he had a special destiny, and it's never worked out for him.
And there's...
Right, and now we should probably hop into the next section of this quest, which is, like you were saying, Rossi, you're sent to Val'Shorah. Zera pops up and says, I want to show you history, so I want you to go witness the moment that Illidan and Malfurion were born. So you go to, is it Lorthanel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first village in Val'Shorah that you go to when you're questing there.
Right. So you find his birthplace, and you basically fly out there. That's all you do. And you land, and then she starts talking in your head, which does anybody else find this incredibly creepy? I've got like a mind link with an Aru Prime now.
it's creepy just because she talks like that. Illidan Stormrage born. Yeah. It's like, what? Okay, are you awake?
Let's just have a conversation, man. It's cool. We're friends now.
Yeah. So you have to go there and you tell her, okay, well, I guess we can go ahead and, you know, kickstart this. Show me the memory. And you push a button and you get a cinematic, which I wasn't expecting. We're getting so many cinematics that I just didn't expect. This was one of them.
And this one's really special because Jennifer Hale is voicing the Night Elf Priestess who delivered Illidan and his brother Malfurion.
Which I'm excited about.
When Commander Shepard starts telling you somebody has got a special destiny, you pay attention.
Yeah.
So it's like, this child will have a prosperous future. It's like, well, by certain definitions, he does get his own temple at one point.
She's like, praise to the goddess, bless the night with new life, and not one, but two healthy males. Look at them. I never quite got this, and I always thought it was a little bit creepy. Like, does this happen at every Night Elf village ever? Like, when you're born, is it just automatically assumed that you're going to sit in a basket and everybody in the town is just going to come give you a good look?
Look at the babies.
This was pre-immortality. Like, they weren't immortal yet, but they were incredibly long-lived. Like, because they had the access to the well, and they all had, like, you know, they were ridiculously long-lived people. I found myself wondering if they had children a lot, or if it was like a really big deal. Like, oh, there are children.
But I'm just thinking about how many people were standing there in the village. And it's like, did every one of them also get to do this when they were born? Like, were they put out in a basket and everybody just sort of walked by and said, yep, that's a fine looking baby.
Asking the important questions.
That's a fine looking baby. I'm going to go back to harvesting my fields or whatever it is. Like, is that a thing that they do every time?
It's not that different from a christening, really. You go to a christening and a whole bunch of people show up to watch you get sprinkled. It's like, oh, true. God. Or, you know, like other cultures have, you know, hey, well, here's, you know, everyone come by and give me food. I've just given birth. So there's, you know, various things people do. Apparently, night elves put the kids up on display.
They just put them on a pedestal, a literal pedestal. The baskets were sitting on twin pedestals. So, yeah, she says, here, look, twin boys, they're nearly identical. And they go, yeah, except for that one right there.
He's a chicken.
He's a chicken. Hey, look at that. Look at how many animals he is. That's not normal. That's not right.
No, they didn't do that. Sorry.
No, he hadn't like made his animal parts yet. That came later. Anyway, the difference between the two was their eye color. Malfurion had silver eyes when he was born. Illidan had golden eyes. And there's this big thing in Night Elf society that says that if you're born with golden eyes or whatever, that you're destined for some kind of great and prosperous future. Golden eyes are not that common at all, as Shara also had golden eyes. And when she was born, they said, oh, well, that means that she's going to have like a great destiny or whatever. Well, she did, kind of. I mean, she led Night Elf Society into certain ruin, but it was, you know, she did lead.
It was notable.
It was notable. People definitely noticed. Rossi, I know you said that you wanted to talk about Ezshara and this whole golden-eyed thing.
Well, because Ezshara is a big part of this expansion, without actually being a boss or anything like that.
Yeah, she's kind of there, but not there.
She basically has an appearance in Ezzuna, where you find out that one of the things Ezshara did is destroy one of the five Pillars of Creation, the Tidestone of Golgoneth. And she did it to punish the people of Ezzuna for daring to stand against her when the Burning Legion came to Azeroth. I guess they were early adopters of the whole, yeah, this is bad philosophy. So she straight up smashed a Titan relic. Probably one of the reasons she did that was later on we find out that the reason that Suramar survived is because Grand Magistrix Elisandha used another of the Titan relics, another of the pillars, to seal the portal inside the Temple of Elune that they were going to use to bring more demons through before it could be opened. That's how we know that the relics can be used in that fashion.
Haven't gotten to this point in Suramar, but okay.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right.
It's actually listed in the Nightwell read-up on the website, so I think it's a special thing. But anyway, so you basically find out that that's what they're doing, and that's why she broke the Tidestone. It kept them from doing that, and it punished everyone in Ezzuna. But the interesting thing is that's breaking.
And it wasn't everyone, though. Let's point that out, because it was the prince.
The prince was the one who was defying her, but she punished everyone.
But she punished everyone. And that's why when you play through Azuna, initially everybody's like, yeah, if you see the prince, spit on him for me. We don't like that guy. We hate that guy. And when you walk around, when you escort him around, the other spirits that are there are very hostile towards him. And eventually their minds are changed, which is great. Great for him that he's gotten some kind of, you know, semblance of forgiveness in eternal death. But, you know.
But one of the things that you find out while you're doing Azuna is that she's looking for the Tidestone fragments. Ashara is looking for the fragments herself. She's looking for the Pillars of Creation. Just
she
like
wants them back. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Why does she want them?
She doesn't want them. She's not working with the Burning Legion, as far as we know.
It doesn't. Yeah. There's no determination as to what Ashara is doing. And this is what gets me. When Zira says the child of light and darkness who is destined to end the age of demons, and then she immediately assumes it's Illidan, that has me wondering, because Ashara has been the child of light and darkness. She's worked with the Legion. Her, like, literally, they named her the Glorious One.
She's like, the Ashara, light of lights.
So are you saying that, like, the prophecies Zira has seen or knows about is nondescript enough where it could
you
be
could
Ashara?
You can slot Ashara into the role. Like, she has the green golden eyes of destiny. She's done all sorts of similar stuff as Illidan. She's worked with Illidan to the point where she sent Naga to aid him.
And she's been that whole light and shadow, because there was a point there where, like we said, she was the leader of the Kaldurai. She was Ashara, the light of lights.
They renamed their first city, which had a name like Glory of Alun. It was Alunara or something.
Alunara.
Yeah. They renamed it Zin Ashari just because she asked.
No, they didn't. She didn't even ask. They named it for her because they loved her that much.
She didn't even have to ask. She just showed up and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll name it after you.
When Zara says, though, Illidan is the one that she or it or whatever needs, do you think Zara is assuming Illidan, or that the whatever Zara knows is Illidan by name?
We'll find out.
I mean, I'm assuming that she knows it's Illidan because Illidan was the one who, like, sent his spirit out to Argus to, like, and you know, there was that whole holy boop moment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Ashara almost kind of fits the bill, too. Now, my question is, though, if Ashara is not working with the Burning Legion, and let's assume that she's not, here's where my line of thinking is going, right? After the Sundering, when the palace was going into the waters, she heard voices. They transformed her entire, like, all the remnants of her high court into Naga. They became the Naga. And it was assumed that that was an old god, that she was talking to an old god. And it definitely sounded like an old god in the War of the Ancients trilogy. If she's working with the old gods, that puts her at direct counterpoint to the Burning Legion. But it also puts her at direct counterpoint to us. So is this a war between two sides, or is there a third part of this that we just haven't seen yet and we're going to have to contend with Ashara eventually here?
The thing, too, is with Ashara, she could be working with the old gods, or she could be playing the old gods against, the Burning Legion.
We don't know.
This is a woman who you can't assume you know who she's loyal to, because the chances are good the only person she's loyal to is Ashara.
The only person she really loves is the one that she sees in the mirror every morning.
There's a fun moment in Azuna where she shows up, and it's ascending. It's not her, but she sent this ascending to confront Prince Ferandus. And she very subtly mocks him, but she shows up first in kind of a shadowy form, similar to Vash or whatever. A shadowy Naga form. And then she takes on her original form. And that had me wondering, is that just ascending, or can she do that whenever she wants? Is she that powerful that she can just overcome the curse of the old gods and become Night Elf again whenever she wants
to? It's a good question, because the thing is, you know, we brought this up before, too. In the War of the Ancients trilogy, when she's confronting, is it Magtheridon? I think it's Magtheridon.
Yeah. It's Manaroth.
She's confronting Manaroth, and Manaroth looks at her, and he has like this moment where he does this internal double take and goes, whoa, hold on. This chick, the only people I've ever met that are more powerful than this chick are Archimonde, Kil'jaeden, and Sargeras. And that's scary.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if she
And that was before the old gods gave her any power. Keep in mind, they didn't just transform her into a Naga. They gave her power along with it.
At this point, right now, Ashara is the most fascinating wild card in this expansion.
I know, right?
We don't know what she's doing.
She's just there. She's a presence, but we don't quite know anything about her motivations or anything.
Well, we know one thing's for certain. The Nightborn, hate her.
Oh, yeah, they don't like her at all.
Hate her a lot, because here's the thing. Zin Ashari was in Ashara.
Yep.
The Zone of Ashara is where Zin Ashari was. So it's on the other side from Suramar.
Ashara, you know how Ashara kind of crumbles into the sea? That part that crumbled into the sea, that was like the heart of Zin Ashari, theoretically. Yeah.
The part that's now part of the big
ocean
port symbol. Like that reaches out to the very edge.
Is Zin Ashara, which one is in Vashir? Like what city is that?
That's just it's just the city there.
It's the city of Vashir, I think.
Okay, there's not actually. I couldn't remember if it was a specific one.
But it wasn't Zin Ashari. No, that's a different city. It's another. There were a lot of cities. You have to remember that the continent of Kalimdor was enormous, and the Well of Eternity, when the Sundering happened, it wasn't so much, oh, it blew all the continents apart or anything like that. It was more like it imploded and kind of sank in, and the ocean just sort of came in and swallowed it. Yeah. And what's left are the continents. So, continent of Kalimdor was huge. And there were a ton of Night Elf cities. Like, Night Elf civilization was just enormous.
Well, Chronicle
That's why they have
has,
ruins everywhere.
Yeah, Chronicle has that, like, map of the supercontinent. And, like, you can see the Night Elf cities. Two, you can tell in-game, like, if you try to match up the in-game continents, they don't make the supercontinent. Like, there's a lot missing, and a lot of the stuff that's missing is just
it's underwater. It's underwater.
Well, there's a really great, I mean, Anne, have you've done the very introduction to Suramar at least?
I've gotten as far as
have you bandaged Thalissera? Let me ask you.
Yes,
that.
I saw the cinematic.
Okay. When you see the cinematic, one of the things Thalissera does is show you a cinematic of, you know, Suramar's history, and including Ashara's place in it, how Ashara, you know, turned on them. And one of the things you see is the original continent of Kalimdor. You see the implosion and you see the pieces break away. And the reason that the continent, the pieces are as far away from each other as they are, is because the implosion sucked in the middle and then every other piece got thrown out. So you basically have a situation.
The water spilled in and kind of spread everything.
Pushed everything away.
Yeah.
So you've got the various continents and the Broken Isles where they are. One of the things that's fascinating to me is Ashara. You know, without her, there's no Suramar, because the Grand Magistrix was one of her servants. Without her, there's no Legion invasion. There's no Legion portal in the Temple of Alun. And you know that was a deliberate mockery of Alun. They didn't put the portal in the temple just because, hey, it's a good place for a portal. They did that. Alun's presence is in this expansion. Alun is in this expansion more than she's ever been in the game. Alun is doing things in this expansion. Alun never does things.
And she's not an Aru.
No,
but she
Aru.
Made them. I seriously think that on that cosmology chart, the one from Chronicle, you know, you have like the old gods and then the Naru are directly opposite. And then you have the Void Lords and there's nothing on the other side. I think that Alun is opposite to the Void Lords. I think Alun, Anshi, who we've never met, but Anshi is presumably there somewhere. These light, well, I mean, there's like Void Lords, maybe there's light ladies. I don't know what they are, but I feel like there's more than just Alun and Anshi. I feel like there's probably others still.
And I want you to do some of the priest campaign, because the army of light
priest,
is involved
I have
in the
priest
campaign.
Yeah, I have a priest at 100, and I do intend to go do that. Maybe I'll go do that. What spec do I need to be?
For the priest campaign, you don't need to be any. Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Which weapon do I need to be going after?
So all of the weapons, the very first weapon you get, all end essentially the same way.
Oh, okay. So I can do any of them?
Yeah, in one, you're like purging something with light, in the other you're taking shadow energy, you're draining shadow energy from it. It's
okay.
All the same outcome,
though. I'm not like really thrilled with shadow at the moment. I'm sorry, I know this is probably like terrifying to you. Yeah, I know. Well, I played shadow all through vanilla. I was complete shadow, absolutely
shadow.
But I'm thinking that I might go discipline this time around just because it feels kind of interesting.
It is interesting, and that's totally fine. Just the there's a big, you know, Naru kind of void thing.
Okay, well, don't spoil it.
No, I'm just saying it involves Naru and Void.
I'll maybe go play through that.
And then the Priest campaign has Army of Light stuff, which is just definitely worth checking out.
Well, I will maybe go play through that after we're done here and I'm done editing and stuff like that.
You're not going to play a warrior ever, right?
I have a warrior, but they're not quite, like, they're not max level yet. I think they're at level 65 or something like that. Okay, so, I mean, I'm quietly working through every class in the game.
I just want to know if I can dump spoilers here or you're going to freak out.
I'd rather you not. But, I mean, you can, because warrior is probably going to be the last one I get to.
All right, well, let me just say this much. When you do the warrior campaign, at first it's kind of like whatever, but then you get to a certain point and they send you back to Ulduar. And then it's like, it goes from, I don't care about all these Vrykul. I wish I had, like, normal, to, like, oh my god, it's you again. And you start getting some really cool people in.
Ooh. Okay, well, maybe.
I really want to know what the other, like, I want to experience them, but I also kind of just want to know right now what the other class campaigns are, because the priest one felt really significant.
The druid one is really great. I just did that the other day. I went for the Scythe of the Walloon, and it's actually, like, really fascinating what's going on with that. And I think that part of the reason why I thought it was really great was because I did read the Dark Riders graphic novel, and characters from that book specifically make it into the game. So I was excited about that. I was like, oh my gosh, these people are here. Wow, that one's a real jerk. Jeez. But I guess he's an okay guy. Anyway, the druid one was pretty good. Shaman is always good. I quite liked shaman stuff.
The paladin one straight up made me cry.
We are getting off topic here, though. I want to go back to this particular quest. Because at the end of this quest, Zara talks to you after you've witnessed the display of children. I don't know.
And got babies now.
The
all
birthening.
Right.
The birthening. After you've witnessed the aftermath of the birthening. She says, Illidan's was a life full of potential, his destiny forged in the Great Ordering and cast to the cosmic winds, where at last it would find a home on Azeroth. Within the tiny vessel, the great cycle began anew. And look, here we have another cycle, circle reference. I feel like whatever this is that we're talking about may be the same thing that Medivh was sort of half referencing, that echo of Medivh. I'm really excited for 7.1, guys, because I want to see what's new in Karazhan.
I'm almost, like, nervous for future expansions, because there are a lot of directions they could go in right now. And
how do you top this? Well, yeah.
Cataclysm was all like, oh my god, Sylvanas, Greymane, Gilnay, and stuff, like, this is awesome, and we're just now picking it back up.
Oh yeah, I mean they'll drop all kinds of story threads, and those story threads won't be picked up again until later.
And these are so interesting.
But Illidan was there's something going on with that kid.
Yeah,
and he's extraordinary in a way that we never knew.
Rossi, have you done
myself a little bit more? I've seen more of it, but I won't talk about that.
Yeah, Rossi, don't talk about you, it, because I haven't gotten there yet.
The second, like. Have you gotten your second artifact knowledge research thing done?
No, it's not quite there yet.
Okay, because there's
don't spoil things.
No, I'm not spoiling. I'm just saying, like, there's more, you know, Zara shows you Illidan stuff.
Well, we kind of figured that. I mean, I kind of figured that would be the case, because she seems to be dead set on, you know, leading you through his history, which is great. I know that part two of that quest for me, I believe it unlocks tomorrow, if I remember my research correctly. I'm not sure, though. Not 100% on that. I'll find out.
I think mine actually will have triggered today, but I've had a cold today, so I haven't been online.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say this much, to be talking about the expansion and future expansions and so forth. After this expansion, I mean, I'm not getting the sense that the next expansion is going to be a vacation.
No.
Like,
no.
Sometimes when you go for, like, the expansion, it's like, okay, we've had that for a while. Next expansion is going to be something else. I feel like the next expansion is going to be this, but in a blender on turbo overdrive.
They said when they were coming out with Warlords of Draenor that it's kind of like the first episode in a trilogy. So we're in the middle of that trilogy right now, and the next expansion theoretically should be the resolution to that. I'm pretty sure, especially after what Velen said.
It's going to be on Argus.
That we're going to have some kind of Argus something. There's something's going to go on with this whole Army of Light thing. I don't think that the Army of Light situation is going to be resolved in this expansion, but I think that by the end of this expansion, we're going to be ready to go see what's up. Azshara, though, I think that Azshara is a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rossi said, I think that we're going to have to contend with her eventually. And I think, I'm hoping anyway, that at some point in this expansion, we learn a little bit more about her motivations, like what she's doing. What I find interesting is, okay, playing as a shaman, right? You get Neptulon back. You get Neptulon back. He shows up in your class hall and he straight up says, yeah, I'll help you out. But he doesn't make any reference to what happened at the Throne of the Tides. He makes no reference to that at all. So I'm just waiting for the inevitable, oh no, Neptulon's totally going to turn on me and wreck this place.
This,
honestly, one of the things I keep thinking is that there might be a moment in this expansion where Azshara shows up and instead of we fight her, she's like, oh, hello. Oh, yeah, I don't want the world destroyed. Sure, I'll help you. And suddenly there's a Naga army, including the Coil Scar. It's revealed it's all been part of her, like, manipulating
playable Naga.
Like, yeah. I just honestly feel like, you know, we have the Coil Scar helping the Illidari. And that was based on Vash, who Azshara sent Vash to Illidan.
Yeah.
So Azshara, could all be part of a very long game Azshara has been playing where, you know, we don't know who she's really working for, but she's not interested in the world being destroyed anymore.
Who is she really serving here?
Real quick, you know how you're talking about leveling as Disc. I will say one reason to level as Shadow is that you get some interesting whispers from the dagger.
Yeah.
And you don't know if you should trust them, you don't know what's true, but there are, like, there's a lot of references to N'Zoth and, like, Night Elf history when you encounter certain things. And they're just kind of little tidbits here and there, but it's interesting stuff.
I may have to look into that. Even if I start as Disc, I'll probably pick up the second artifact. So,
or you could just play as an arms warrior and scare trolls.
There is that. Well, we are sadly running out of time here, so we should probably start wrapping it up. I know we haven't really gotten anywhere with our conversations, but do we ever on this podcast? Do we ever? I don't think we do.
I feel like we got somewhere.
I think we pointed out several things. Yeah. So Blizzard Watch, it's made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. And your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. And for you guys, listeners of Blizzard Watch and Lore Watch, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They have a lot of Warcraft books, audiobooks available. One of them is Illidan. I know we're talking about it like constantly, and we're probably going to keep bringing it up throughout this expansion. So it would be worth it. If you don't want to pick up the book, if you'd rather listen to your book, you can go to blizzardwatch.com/audible, sign up for a 30-day trial, and choose that as your free book that comes with it. Because why not? So that's about wraps us up. Rossi, final thoughts?
Like I said before, Azshara is the wild card.
Okay. Mitch, final thoughts?
Keep doing class campaign and artifact research stuff because there's so much more to happen. And I'm sure I've only seen the second research. I can't wait to see where this goes.
I feel like they are definitely going very heavy on the lore, this expansion. And I appreciate it so much because that's what felt like it was missing the most from Warlords of Draenor. And that was what I really wanted the most from Warlords of Draenor, and we didn't get it. I'm really excited right now. And honestly, I don't think I've ever been more jazzed to play alts in my life.
I know.
I want to see everything. I want to experience everything. And it's going to take me.
I straight up cried playing that Paladin quest. It really is sad. And it makes you it made me actually feel bad for a character I have not felt bad for since Vanilla.
It's going to probably take me all expansion to get one of every class through all of this stuff, but I feel like I kind of need to. And it's nice to feel that way again. So props to Blizzard. Props to Blizzard for this is seriously, this is leaps and bounds above Warlords of Draenor, and it's starting to inch out Mists of Pandaria as my favorite, and that's very hard to do because I loved Mists of Pandaria a lot. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Joe should be back with us next time in 2 weeks, and we will see you there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.